affidavit. That's the Nothing Personal Word of the Day. It is Friday, April 12th, 2024. Thank God it's Friday. It has been quite a week. Affidavit, 37 pages. Did you read it? A sworn document. Someone who has information, someone, a legal officer or a witness before a trial. You go in front of an officer, a notary, you put your hand down and your hand up and say, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, me. George Burns then starts talking. And boy, did we get it in the Ohtani case. In the neatest, tidiest package in the history of sports scandals. I read all 37 pages of this affidavit by an investigating officer, IRS criminal investigator, with his bona fides, having done it since 2001. Affidavits can be boring to read, and people in media have cut and pasted a few classic provisions contained in the sworn affidavit, which basically was saying that Ipe Mizuhara, the manager, translator, interpreter for Shohei Ohtani, did everything that Ohtani said he did and nothing that he said he did before he changed the story to say he did everything. I am not going to take the time. Yes, I am. Who's kidding who? It's nothing personal. Of course I'm taking the time. What is going on here? 19,000 bets over 3 years. 25 a day. Hard to believe he had time to interpret. Bets ranging from $10 to $160,000. Wires flying around. Banks, Bank A, claiming, oh, it's Shohei on the phone, allowing a $500,000 wire to an account that I can't quite verify, but maybe an illegal bookmaker. How about somebody talking about Bank A and figuring out who that is, because they may have a teeny tiny problem. Phone number. I can't change the phone number associated to my account on Uber Eats, but I digress. Ipe changed the phone number and the email associated with an account for a Major League Baseball player, but don't worry, Bank A didn't know it was Shohei Ohtani. And don't worry, the agent, financial advisor, accountant, all of them, when the interpreter said, this account will get the money from the Angels. And don't worry about it. We don't need to report it. There's no interest. There's no gifts. It's such horse hockey that it made me quiver. Let me tell you from the team side how it works. We ask the players, hey, where do you want your paychecks? And the players give us bank account information. Players say, hey, can you wire half to this account? Half to this account. Hey, I'm about to get divorced. Can you wire half to that account? Hey, I've got some debt. Can you wire to this, to that, and the other? Hey, I'd like to save money. Can you wire to this financial institution and that financial institution? And guess what the team does? The team says, great, no problem. Shohei, wherever you want me to wire money. Oh, it's Ipe telling us? Just give me the number. Give me the name on the account. We put it in our system, and every 2 weeks, you get your money. 12 paychecks, $30 million. We withhold taxes. It's California state taxes. Let's pretend that out of 30 million, we withhold 40%. Fine. 30 million at 40%. It's about 18 million bucks. Rough math. 18 million bucks wired over 12 to, it depends. Do they pay once a month or twice a month for 6 months? We did twice a month, 6 months, 12 paychecks. Do the math. 18 million, 12 paychecks, pretty close to $1.5 million a paycheck. $1.5 million paycheck goes in. The agent for Ohtani has no idea where this money is. The accountant, nobody, because the interpreter said, Ohtani wants it all kept private. What about all the other accounts we have access to? No, no, you can have all those, but this one private. And the agent never said a word. The financial advisor, the accountant, no one said, well, that's weird that out of 10 accounts, one is private. I wonder what's going on in that one. My job is to protect Shohei Ohtani. let's go ahead and ask and figure out. The interpreter says, oh no, we're good. It's private. Not good enough. I would have no reason to dig deep on a player's personal accounts unless, as a team executive, unless we got a call from a wife, from a lawyer, unless we were subpoenaed and told to do something. As a team, I have way less responsibility for the player than the player's representatives do. As a representative, as an agent, as a financial advisor, you have a fiduciary duty. That's a legal word with meaning. But don't worry, the account's private, the interpreter's on it. So then on the bank account, which was opened under Ohtani's name, he found a way miraculously, and believe me, this is a miracle in the desert, that he found a way to have the account open, change the settings, change the email, change the phone number, so he could do online wire transfers. And when he couldn't do it directly, he'd call him up and pretend he was Shohei Ohtani. I'm not blaming the bookies here. People are saying, wow, the bookies kept giving him more and more money. Yeah, that's their job. Illegal as it may be, that's what they do. Bumps in the affidavit. We got to read about bumps because he was losing so much money. He needed more, the ability to bet more, to try to make it back. And then the smoking gun, after you get through the headline of 19,000 wagers, the headline of $180 million lost and $140 million won. The smoking gun is the three, and they gave it a number, but the 35966 records reflect approximately 19,000 wagers. Great. There's bookmakers. There's first bookmaker, second bookmaker. Fantastic. He lost $40 million. That's the only number you should be focusing on. Don't focus on that he bet between $10 and $160,000. Don't focus on the fact that he lost $180 and won $140. Focus on, where's the $40 million? The affidavit says that $16 million was stolen from Shohei Ohtani. $16 million. That leaves $24 million completely unaccounted for. Do you think the bookie is owed $24 million? Do you think that the interpreter had $24 million extra to pay? Or was he stealing from someone else? Or did he steal $40 million during the course of his career with Ohtani, but only is being charged with bank fraud relating to 16 of it because that's the only wires they could find because he got sloppy and stupid and was so easy to trace and track? We don't have answers to that. We do have the smoking gun from the interpreter who said to the bookie, once the article in the LA Times came out, once he had to come clean to Shohei and the team, he said, I'm caught. Oh, it was a cover up, the bookmaker said. And the interpreter said, no, I stole from him. Technically, I stole from him. So people are saying, that's it. Game, set, match. It's over. Other people are saying it's irresponsible to comment on how neat and tidy this is for MLB, because we could speculate before that Ohtani was involved. We could speculate that out of the 19,000 bets, there could have been one on baseball, but now we have an affidavit which shows there was no bets made on baseball. You think baseball lets it go with that? MLB released a statement saying they're not done with their investigation. You understand the crime here is bank fraud, wire fraud. That's what the affidavit is alleging that Mizuhara engaged in. Not violating the rules of gambling on Major League Baseball. They did put in a beautiful line in the affidavit that of all of the 19,000 wagers, none of those were baseball. Take a look at the dates where this is. I would only tell you this, that if I'm the commissioner of baseball, I am loving the fact that I could have come out yesterday and said, hey, look at this affidavit from the investigator, Shohei Ohtani. It's clear as day that he was the victim of fraud, because it says in the affidavit. That's not what MLB is investigating. They're not investigating whether he's a victim of fraud, but let's put it aside. MLB gets to say, look, it was all Mizuhara. Look at the 9,000 text messages they looked at. Not one of them discussed gambling. Not one of them discussed money or bookmakers. We are in the clear. The Department of Investigations for MLB doesn't look at 9,000 text messages. They'll look at 29,000 text messages. They don't look at a period of time from 21 to 24. They'll look back at a period of time from the day one of his career till day now. Because they will not, the Department of Investigations, nor Major League Baseball, nor Commissioner Rob Manfred, would ever want to be caught with an investigation that was half-baked. And then they get absolutely crushed when new evidence comes out or someone else comes forward or there's another investigation into an illegal booking operation which shows that Ohtani did in fact know about the wires to the illegal bookmaker. Or worse, that he did in fact bet. Or worse than that, the nightmare scenario that he knew about betting on baseball. You cannot stop your investigation until you can say those words for certain. The investigation by MLB doesn't end by saying, look, he's a victim of fraud. The MLB investigation ends when they say Ohtani never bet on baseball or was associated with any illegal bookmakers, nor had any money given to an illegal bookmaker in violation of the rules of baseball. That's the end of the investigation. I am not going to speculate on when that will be, though I have a way to see that it's going to take a while. MLB gave you a hint that they want to wait for the end of the criminal investigation before they say anything else. They want to wait until the, quote, resolution of the criminal proceeding. Now, of course, it could be resolved quickly because Ipe, as has been rumored, is going to look at this 37-page affidavit, which you can read online. He's going to go to court today. The judge could ask him in an arraignment, hey, what's your plea? And he could say, guilty. So there's more people who are speculating, guilty. How could he be guilty? You know, it's 30 years in prison. That's just what they say. $1 million fine or 30 years in prison is what it's punishable by. Trust me when I tell you, Ipe Mizuhara is not pleading guilty and receiving a sentence of 30 years in prison. You only plead guilty when you have an already negotiated deal about what your sentence will be. You present that sentence to the court, and the court agrees or disagrees, but you know in advance. They say you don't know and that the court can change its mind, but you do, especially in this case. Any sort of plea will have to include restitution. Got to get Ohtani $16 million back. Who knows whether or not his legs will be broken by the illegal bookmaker who may or may not be owed $24 million. We don't know. We're speculating. But he will walk into court today and there will be cameras. We will see what his plea is. And I tell you, he's going to plead guilty. People are saying he's the ultimate fall guy, the ultimate friend, the ultimate interpreter, the ultimate manager. People are saying he's a total criminal, total scum for taking advantage of Shohei Ohtani this way. People saying there's no way it could be $16 million. We thought it was $4.5 million. How would Ohtani not know? Sorry, folks, park's closed. The difference between $4 million and $16 million to Shohei Ohtani, no difference. If he didn't know about the four, doesn't know about the 16. If someone comes and takes away his home, then he would ask a question. If he goes to a restaurant and his credit card gets declined, he'd ask a question. He's not going online checking his bank balance, and he's not looking at his tax return. He's doing a DocuSign where he just signs it. So I'm not blown away by 16 versus 4 the way some people were. It could have been 36. It could have been 86. Still wouldn't have been blown away. We will find out more about this story because while the 37-page affidavit is really something else, I think they're going to dig in to something else. And I wanted to take a few minutes on this if that was okay. A little nugget contained in the affidavit, buried away that's only getting mentioned in a cursory way is that Ipe was also taking money from Shohei, not to cover gambling debts only, but also because he fancied himself a bit of a collector. And I don't mean Picasso's. I don't mean a Jackson Pollock. I don't mean an NFT. This guy was going on eBay and buying baseball cards of Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani for the purpose, we assume, of selling them. The irony is that when you're in a major league clubhouse, he can get Mike Trout balls and jerseys. He can get Shohei Ohtani balls and jerseys. He can get cards and bring them in and have them signed right there and have them authenticated. Do you just not want to be caught selling them? So he had an eBay account that was his code name. I think they called it J-Min was the alias. But he had stuff mailed to the Dodgers clubhouse. Is it possible that this person, Ipe, could be any less intelligent? David, be nice. He's sick. He's an addict. He has mental health issues. Addictions are hard. Gambling addictions, heroin addictions, drug addictions, pill addictions, Coke addictions, Pepsi addictions. All right, I get it. But don't I get a little bit of room here to say, where the hell was everyone? Oh, David, these addictions are done in private. If you have a best friend out there and you're listening to this show, I think best friends can have affairs that you don't know about when they travel. I think best friends could do things that you really don't know about. I do. I believe that. I probably could do stuff that no one would know about it. I'm alone a lot. But betting 19,000 times and doing a fraudulent scheme where you're taking money out of the account of the guy you are with all day, every day, I don't think I can possibly explain to you. Ichiro and his interpreter spend more time together than Ichiro and his wife, than the interpreter and his wife. Ipe and Shohei spent more time together than Shohei did with anyone else, including his dog. Only his bed got more time, sleep time, than his time with Ipe. If you've ever been around gamblers, or if you've ever been around addicts, a smoking addict, you're at dinner with them, they stand up and go have a cigarette. Gambling addicts, they tend to care about watching sports more than the average Joe. And Ipe was betting on every sport known to mankind. Shohei just didn't notice. Maybe. Think you'd notice if your best friend were a pill addict or a heroin addict or a needle addict who you're with all day? You think no one in the clubhouse said a word when there were packages coming in for a guy named J-Min? What, did Ipe think that he had to use a different name because of his popularity? There's so many red flags here. I still want more answers. I admit it. I do. I just don't know how to believe that Shohei Ohtani had no idea that he was making 19,000 bets. I just don't know how to believe it. 19,000 bets. Hey, I love you, man. You're my best friend. Who knew? Who knew? Luckily, the affidavit clearly, conveniently said none of them were on baseball. He didn't say none of them were on cricket. I wonder whether he did that as part of the affidavit as a little favor to Major League Baseball. Don't be ridiculous, David. There's no communication between investigators and Major League Baseball. None. Okay. Should have been the biggest news of the day yesterday that O.J. Simpson died. It was pretty big news, maybe bigger than the Ipe story. I've got to talk to you about O.J. Simpson because there is a lot being written about and talked about today. Orenthal James Simpson died of cancer at 76 years old. He died as an acquitted murderer, but having been found criminally liable for the death of his wife and another man who only would have been, he's my age, he would have been 55 or 56 today. Nicole Brown Simpson would have only been 65 years old today. O.J. Simpson lost a huge judgment to the Goldman family, never really paid them, always claimed to have no money. O.J. Simpson spent many years in jail, just not for the murder of his wife and her friend. He was in jail for robbery, having armed robbery, gone into a hotel and with guns, stolen memorabilia that he claimed had been stolen from him. So therefore, he used a gun to get it back. And the jury said, okay, see you later. You're going to jail. O.J. Simpson was acquitted in the trial of the century in 1995. For those of a certain age, it is impossible to forget the O.J. Simpson trial. And Coca, Sarah, and I spent plenty of time pre-show trying to figure out how to explain to the audience who is younger, to the 42.9% of you who were not alive. Shaquille is the example we came up with. A retired player, Hall of Fame, incredibly famous, been in movies you would not ever think could be capable of anything related to murder. And all of a sudden, you read and you get a news alert that he murdered his wife and is now being as sought as a person of interest. And all of a sudden is live on Instagram trying to escape in a white Bronco. I think that would get everybody's attention. I was in Madison Square Garden, game 5 of the NBA Finals, when the Bronco chase happened, when they were trying to find O.J. Simpson, bring him in, and he ran. Not exactly Minority Report style, but he did run, and the news covered it with helicopters. There was a formation of police cars behind. If you've never watched the video, check it out. It's surreal even to this day. They broke into NBA Finals coverage to show the chase. I was at the game, and everyone in the Garden knew what was happening because the concession stand TVs, which show the feed of the game from NBC, were showing a Bronco chase, and everyone on the concession lines was upset because the NBA Finals was tied at 2, and this was a pivotal Game 5, the final home game of what had been a magical 1994, thank God Jordan is not allowed to play this year, season. Then inside the Garden, there was this very weird buzz. The players knew about it. Back in those days, 30 years ago, the press would sit down courtside and they'd all have little TVs in front of them, monitors. And all the monitors would show the game, except now they were showing the Bronco chase. The technological improvements in 30 years, that is one of the takeaways from looking back on the O.J. trial. I went to Cardozo Law School and my professor was Barry Scheck. Barry Scheck was one of the people who was on OJ's defense team. Barry Scheck started something called the Innocence Project, using DNA to help people get acquitted who've been unjustly convicted of a crime. Johnny Cochran was the lead attorney. If the glove fit, glove don't fit, you must acquit. Glove found at the scene. Famously, they had OJ try on the glove and he couldn't get it on. When the verdict was read, there were celebrations. I want to bring you back to what it was like during that time, the time of Rodney King, the time of race riots in LA, the time of terrible racial tension, where this trial very much was black people saying he's innocent, white people saying he's guilty, and none of them understanding the legal system. They all had that in common. Such a charged atmosphere, such a charged world. He gets acquitted, and then his other legal problems began. But he died yesterday, so people have been struggling with what to do with that news. And here is how I would report were I to be a reporter, were I to have a microphone in a show listened to by so many loyal fans, some of whom may be coming to Nashville this Monday. I'm so excited to sleep tonight. Here's how I would report the death. O.J. Simpson, comma, Hall of Fame running back, comma, Heisman Trophy winner, comma, acquitted of murdering his wife, comma, having spent time in prison for armed robbery, comma, becoming one of the most polar personalities in this country's history, comma, died yesterday at 76 without ever having told the truth about that day in 1994. That's how I remember him. And I made the order purposeful because it was almost temporal. He was a Heisman Trophy winner first and then a Hall of Fame. I left out movies. He was pretty good in Naked Gun. I left out Pitchman. He would run through airports for rental car companies. I was quite disappointed. I looked around for statements. One of the statements I saw was from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Their statement was just about his career. They didn't mention anything about the other part of his life. Their excuse for that is like the Motion Picture Academy Association can talk about a guy's movie career and not mention anything else when Johnny Depp passes away, not mentioning the Depp Heard trial or any issues that he's had. It is very common for organizations to stay in their lane when they have to make an announcement. The problem is with O.J. Simpson, there is no way to be in a lane that doesn't include the murder trial of the century and the fact that his wife was murdered and her friend, Ronald Goldman, whose name is not mentioned enough, that's for sure. Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. If you're the Pro Football Hall of Fame, who do you talk to? I would have hoped that they would call the NFL, get word into Roger Goodell. Hey, what do you think of this statement? I haven't seen the NFL statement. I haven't seen the Buffalo Bills statement. He was a very famous Buffalo Bill. Everybody's trying to distance themselves. But there's a discussion going on. If I had a former player like an O.J. Simpson and that player died and I still ran the team, I have to acknowledge it. This is not common. The level of infamy and fame that O.J. had, the seriousness of the crime, murder, the insanity of his post-trial life that included jail time and ended with weird Twitter videos, his association with South Florida, Vegas. There is no character of my lifetime, and I'm not even 3 score old yet. I'm trying to think of anybody. Shoeless Joe Jackson, no. I'm trying to think of any character in sports. Anybody in any sport. Point shaving, no. Gambling, no. With the level of fame that he had, who did what he did and lived the life he did, the fall from grace, when you look it up in the book, it's got O.J. Simpson's face. If there is a God, I can only hope that when he is asked to defend his life, whether he has ripped torn, whether he sees Albert Brooks or Meryl Streep, I can only hope that there will be justice for Nicole Brown Simpson and for Ronald Goldman, because the killer was never found. Nobody was ever charged other than O.J. Simpson. When he was acquitted, that was the end. Okay. Oh, I got to stop saying that, Coca. Coca gives me notes after every show. Side note, little side story, a little behind the scenes. We talk about after the show, the producer, and he'll say to me, hey, you said okay too many times. You said hey too many times. Your transitions weren't that good. I need you to focus when you're looking. Look more in the camera. Don't look down. Don't cough. Why didn't you go into detail about this, that? Talk slower. Breathe. Take a sip of water. We're on DraftKings Network. Yes, we are. Welcome to everybody watching on DraftKings Network. We're going to take a break now, Coca. When we come back, we're going to review a movie, another movie that I really want to talk about. And then we're going to get to my favorite story of the day. The Ohtani story was the lead. Could have been O.J. Simpson. But let me tell you, Jordan Montgomery is my new favorite player. And I'll explain why after the break.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal. It is Friday, and in 19 minutes, we will be working for the weekend. Every day, 8 to 8:50 on the Nothing Personal with David Samson YouTube channel. Yes, you can watch us there, subscribe and watch. You can download this show, tell your friends about it. You can watch us on DraftKings Network every day at 10 a.m. We try to do shows every day, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing. Coca is the hardest working producer I know. Sarah has joined our staff and has been tremendously helpful. We are still lean, lean, lean. Somehow I find a way to watch a movie. I watched a movie on the train back from Boston. I'm in New York right now, heading to Nashville on Sunday. Coca, go ahead and put that up of the tour. There's a Nothing Personal Live with David Samson tour. If you're going to be in Nashville Monday night, come check us out. We'll be in Pittsburgh. We have a big audience in Pittsburgh. Hopefully some of you will come out. The live shows have been fun. People are enjoying them. The Boston one and the Atlanta one will be released this weekend, so you can watch them and listen to them. The Boston crowd was pretty rowdy. Spoiler alert, there may have been someone in the Boston crowd who out of nowhere just yelled, "Derek Jeter sucks," like we were at Fenway Park. And we were pretty close to Fenway. And that may have led to some funny stories that were not part of the original show. So there you see it on the screen if you're watching this. April 15th, Nashville. April 18th, Pittsburgh. Then I'm going to take a break and try to run a marathon. I'm not sure how that's going to go. And then we'll come back and be in New York on April 29th. I just got word, Coca. This is going to be news to you right now because I forgot to tell you about this. I just got word they're working on more dates in more cities. City Winery is very happy with the tour, and they want to add Chicago and St. Louis. Wait to see if that happens. When that happens, we will announce it. So I'm on the train yesterday, and I have my headphones on. It's a daytime train because after I finished the shows in Boston, I needed to get back to New York. Did the night show, then the morning show. Oof, people are on their keyboard and they're feigning work, hitting their keyboard really hard and very serious. I like when four people are at a tabletop on a train. None of them know each other. They all have notebooks up and they're all furiously typing. I've always wanted to know, what do you do? What are you typing? I'm the guy in the headphones watching a movie in sweatpants and a sweatshirt. God, it's so funny. I watched Bob Marley, One Love, the other day. On the train, I watched Survivor and a movie that I'm going to review next week. I watched Bob Marley, One Love, the other day, and I want to review it right now, Coca. Here's the following things I did not know about Bob Marley. Spoiler alert. Did not know he died of cancer. Did not know he died in Miami. Did not know he died at 36. Did not know that there was a civil war in Jamaica that made him flee to London. Did not know that his wife continues to with his legacy to this day. did not know how many songs I would know of Bob Marley. Did not know that Rastafarian prayed to a god named Jah. I learned so much stuff. Did I just spoil the movie? No. The movie is a biopic of Bob Marley's life that is worth watching. It's getting criticized relentlessly as being average and ordinary. True. It's not epic. It's not an 8.69 on IMDb. But let me tell you, it's important for everyone to get a baseline understanding of Bob Marley and the impact he had. He was the social conscience of Jamaica when they needed it, and in a way that I never even realized. It was like Rwanda over there. It got me thinking, is there a place that doesn't get freed from colonization that doesn't have civil war? Where they fight for their freedom, then they fight with each other? Bob Marley, One Love. Watch it. It's worth your time. There's a line from it that I put in the rundown here, and I want to say it. And it really is a line to look for when he says it. I did watch it with subtitles. You may want to put subtitles on because they speak in is Rastafarian a language? I don't even know if that's true. Forgive my ignorance. We can't think about vengeance and do the work that must be done. Just think about that sentence if you don't mind. Okay. Oh, I did it again. God dang it. All right. Edit that out, please, Coca. 4869. Jordan Montgomery fired Scott Boras. Jordan Montgomery, the pitcher for the Texas Rangers, who was expected to get a multi-year deal, who signed so late with the Arizona Diamondbacks, like on March 28th, a one-year deal for $25 million with a vesting option for second year. Jordan Montgomery said to Scott Boras, "See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile, you're everything Samson said. All you do is under-deliver and over-promise. All you do is lie. Is there an agent out there who can represent me in my next go-around of free agency who will actually take care of me?" And in comes Joel Wolf, Giancarlo Stanton's agent, and said, "I can do it. Come to me." There are agents, all of whom compete against each other, all of whom want to see Scott Boras disappear, all of whom are celebrating the fact that one of his big clients left, and all of whom are giving an applause to Joel Wolf, and they'll go back to competing tomorrow. But for today, they are united as one industry against one bad actor who spends his life, Scott Boras, trying to poach all of their clients right as they're about to get paid, who spends his life being bailed out by owners after misleading executives, players. I told you this could be the year. Owners finally said to Scott, "We're not doing it. We are not bailing you out." Is this the time that owners stick to it and players realize? And then Jordan Montgomery leaves. However, one person leaving Boras does not end Boras's agency, nor does it create a narrative that Boras's reign of terror and power has come to an end. There has to be a flood of players to leave him. All the players who hold him in such high esteem, Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, if they stay with him, Scott keeps his power. Those players will soon learn that what they were promised, they're not going to get either, both Alonso or Soto. Yankees be damned. The world is changing. The world of baseball is changing. And if you don't change with it, you're going to be left behind. Remember that great movie with Jason Bateman and George Clooney called Up in the Air? One of my favorite top all-time movies. I can't wait to review it as part of the top 100. George Clooney goes around the country firing people, and they're going to automate it so he doesn't have to travel anymore to save travel expenses. And he's upset. He goes to see his boss, Jason Bateman. And Jason Bateman says, here's the boat. Either you're in it or out, but the boat's leaving. Meaning either you're on board with the reality of the changes that exist in the baseball economy, or the game is going to pass you by. Either you're on board with the changes in our digital world, with the changes in the way we consume media, news, with our viewing habits. Either you are aware of what we're doing and you're embracing it and changing with it, or you are going to be left behind. And building spring training facilities and putting in pitching machines and pretending that your players are in tip-top shape and using the false narrative of the health of Major League Baseball and all the revenue. And you have to be very serious people if you're going to sign my serious player. And you better have serious aspirations of winning a World Series. Seriously. That's the way Scott gets you to sign players. Days are over. The number of teams that can be irresponsible, it's changed. It's decreased. How will Boris adjust? Not fast enough to save Jordan Montgomery. You know what I really hope for Jordan Montgomery? I hope that he signs a really good long-term deal. Not that it'll be 3 years at most, but I hope he gets paid a lot of money and gives a big commission to Joel Wolf. You've got mouths to feed, Joel. Congrats. Nothing personal pick of the day. I am H-O-triple-T. Two in a row, baby. I hope you believe me when I told you to watch Ranger Suarez. Did you watch him? Did you watch him? Phillies beat the Pirates for 42 and 52. I really want you to pay attention this weekend because I feel good. I feel good. Orioles are playing the Brewers. Orioles fresh off a sweep of the Red Sox. Do I have that right, Coca? Did the Red Sox get swept at home in their opening series, a la the Marlins? Are the Red Sox out of first place in the AL East yet? The season has a funny way of being a season for a reason. I love the irrational exuberance that comes with early season overperformance, and I love the irrational despondence that comes with early season lack of performance. Love it. All you Met fans saying that Francisco Lindor is going to hit under 100. He stinks. Let's give him a round of applause. Can't get a hit. He's so rich. The Yankees weren't on first before this weekend. That's true. The Yankees are pretty good, pretty hot. We're taking the Orioles over the Brewers. The Brewers are off to a great start. My main man, Yelly, is hitting for power, average. Loving it. But we're taking the Orioles minus 120 over the Brewers. And we're taking a second bet in the Orioles game. It's now been 2 days of Jackson Holliday playing second base in the big leagues. 2 days of his family following him around, waiting for his first big league hit. 2 days of the trainer having to pay attention to every at-bat to make sure that he gets the first hit ball so he can authenticate it, mark it, and give it back to the player. 2 days of having the opposing team know that there's a rookie in the lineup. You got to get him the first hit. 2 days of the umpires getting the list. It ends tonight. Jackson home for the holidays is going to get a hit. And we have to lay 135 to take the over 0.5 hits on DraftKings, and we're doing it. We're taking the Orioles over the Brewers and Holiday getting a hit. Tomorrow, we've got the Mets playing the Royals, and we are going to get great value. Manaea is pitching for the Mets. Cy Young Manaea. The Royals don't lose. I think they've won 18 in a row, or I think 28 in a row is what the Royals have won. We're taking the Mets and what I assume will be plus money over the Royals. And then we're going to finish our weekend, wait for it, with Lindor getting a hit also. That may be minus money, but it shouldn't be because he doesn't get any hits, although Holliday was too. Lindor over half a hit, Mets over the Royals that Saturday. All right, I want to get to a correction very quickly. Someone wrote into me, good afternoon, David. I know you are mocking MLS, but Salt Lake already has two major league teams. The Jazz and the team co-owned by David Blitzer and Ryan Smith, Real Salt Lake. as well as the Utah Royals FC, which is an NWSL team. When we were talking about the Diamondbacks, 4-8-6-9. When we were talking about the Phoenix Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City, I commented that it would be their second team and that it would forego the possibility of ever a third team being there like a Major League Baseball team. And I did not mention the Dwayne Wade co-owned, what did I call them? The Arizona Coyotes? What did I call them? Phoenix? I call them Phoenix, not Arizona. All right, you want to do that again? Ready? 3-6-82. When the Phoenix Coyotes, hold on, which is it? Arizona. Okay. 3-6-9. When the Arizona Coyotes relocate to Salt Lake City, I said they'll become the second major league team. It turns out they have another major league team, MLS, another major sports team, NWSL. And I didn't mean to poo-poo on the bona fides of Salt Lake City as a professional sports team. Correction. Sorry. Okay. I did it again. Now I'm going to work on that for next week. It's like a verbal tic I think I have. It's okay just to be quiet. Coco said, take a drink of water. Wipe your brow. Okay, I'll try that. Oh, I just said okay again, okay? In French, it's d'accord. D'accord, D apostrophe A-C-C-O-R-D. D'accord. Someone asked a question in the chat. There's a chat on the YouTube when we do this live. I don't know where the chat is. Sometimes I get into it and I don't know how to do it. I do it in some app that we record in. When a player fires their agent, how does the commission work on that? Good question. We could save that for a mailbag, except I'm going to answer it in 30 seconds. The agent, who is the agent of record when the contract is signed, gets the commission on every payment associated with that contract. So if Montgomery's option vests for next year at $20 million, Boris gets 5% of the $20 million. He gets 5% of the $25 million this year. The new agent will work on a new free agent deal, and then the new agent would get the entire commission of that new contract. So this guy with Ohtani, Nez, the agent who doesn't have anyone. Can you? The reason why agencies hire people who speak Spanish is that they've got clients who don't speak English and they're trying to recruit clients from the Dominican, from Venezuela. And so they have people in-house who speak Spanish who can communicate with the players. CAA, for whatever reason, we learned in the affidavit, no one spoke Japanese there, yet their biggest baseball client only spoke a modicum of English. Yeah, we've got Ipe Mizuhara. Like in a divorce, like in anything, try to get your own counsel. As a matter of fact, you should get your own counsel. A prenup, a postnup, a partnership agreement for your business, anything you're doing, have someone who represents you. CAA was like, all right, no problem. We got Mizuhara. We'll use him as the interpreter as well. Once in a while, we'll bring in our own guy, but just once in a while. And that'll really breed trust with Ohtani and his agents. So I'm not exactly sure where Nez is in all this, except to say, I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about, Coca? That it was important. Nez, CAA, Japanese, fired. I don't know. Do you love Nothing Personal because of that? Because we are an actual show that really operates this way and you all listen to it. And I'm just a human being on a Friday afternoon with 90 seconds left. And I'll remember the point at some point and I'll make it on Twitter, David P. Samson. I'll make it on Monday's show. Someone else wants to know, why would Montgomery fire Boris now? That's what you do. Because the agent, Joe Wolf, is going to start working on his free agency now. Going to start taking care of him now. Going to start giving him attention now. Did you think that free agency only starts when the players declare free agency? That would be totally silly of you to think. Jordan Montgomery's free agency is underway. Juan Soto's free agency. Pete Alonso's free agency. Everyone who becomes a free agent. Oh, my point with Ohtani and Nez. I got there with 40 seconds to spare. When you've got your biggest player who is about to be a free agent and you're negotiating and you think you'll go to the Dodgers or maybe Toronto, who knows, maybe the Yankees, maybe not. Don't you think you're going to bring on a full-time Japanese translator, someone to make sure that there's communication when you're negotiating the deal, that you're not just using Ohtani's translator in order to communicate? Don't you think that you'd be more in touch with your player if you're Nez, he's your biggest player, or is he doing his Boris imitation? Hey, you got the deal, I got the commission, see you later. Good times. That's what I'd like to figure out, because in this affidavit, there's constantly, hey, no contact with Nez, don't know. We interviewed agent one, who's Nez. He didn't know about the account, didn't know about this, didn't know about that, didn't have anyone who spoke Japanese. All right. I guess what Nez did is he simply looked at Shohei and said, ooh, nice contract. Your money's being stolen? It's just business. Thanks for the commission. It's nothing personal.